The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Lads and ladies, welcome to podcast number 62, coming to you from someone's sitting room, and not just anyone's sitting room, Irish rugby legend Tadhg Furlong. On this week's podcast, we'll be asking Tadhg all kinds of questions, including, which does he love more, rugby or spuds? He's just looking at me now. I'm afraid.
And he would happily share his bed with a sick calf. But it's not Tadhg, it's of course Noel Furlong. He will be here with the news.
She doesn't just kiss and tell, she kisses and tells it on this podcast. Maura's here with her mystery topic. And as is mandatory on the Two Johnnies podcast, we round it off with our yurts and dirts of the week. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Anonymous said, read a chat about cover bands. My ex played in cover bands and then started doing his own one-man band stuff. On Paddy's Day, he had a few gigs and I went along with him on my own. We were from different parts of the country, so we got to spend the day together. That's very romantic. I, of course, was partaking in a few beverages while he was earning a few pounds. He's up on the stage doing a one-man band.
Drinking.
About 20 minutes into his last gig, I was asleep at the bar. Not the best advertisement for him or me. Don't say my name in case he's listening. He'll know anyway.
And that comes from Shauna. Nathan from Offaly, he got in touch on Instagram to say, well, lads, here's one for the podcast. I've been playing in bands for years now. I was off one night and the missus dragged me out for creamy pints. I seen a poster for a one-man band called Rock On Paddy. I've heard a lot about them, so I said, fuck it, come on, and we see what this lad's like. I went in to see a man who wasn't even using backing tracks. He was just miming along to a CD and playing the guitar that wasn't plugged in and only had two strings on it. Needless to say, I swallowed a pint quick and got the fuck out of her. Hashtag Hon Offaly. And it's only in Offaly that kind of shit's acceptable.
Yeah. That man, he's stealing a living, that man. Dave on Snapchat got in touch and said, lads, you're not going to believe this, that your man, T.R. Dallas, that's the country singer we were talking about on last week's podcast, he used to be in Fianna Fáil for Westmeath County Council. Dave on Snapchat is loving the cover band conversation because he said he used to play himself. And he said, by Jesus, to listen to his records, they're rough as dog's bollocks. That's T.R. Dallas. And on that note, there was a one-man band in New York and he plays in Katona Avenue in Yonkers. We know it well, lad. And this man is called Fast Eddie. You can YouTube him. He can only play the guitar the one speed. And it's the same strum pattern over and over. And he plays along with a drum machine. He's like the robot Christy Moore.
Jesus Christ. On Matt O'Hanlon's story of a jazz brunch in Wexford, Mark on Snapchat said,
have you been?
Jazz brunch in Wexford?
Jazz brunch in Ramsgrange, lad.
I've never heard of it.
Honest.
Ramsgrange not too jazzy either.
So this fella says, Mark Bates says, I live in Ramsgrange and we went into the local where Matt was talking about, the man with the saxophone. Me and my dad and mam went into the local and he was there after having a few drinks. Then after sitting in front of us eating, we finished and left. He must have followed us because by the time we were in the car park, about 100 metres down the lane, all we could hear in the dark was the man with the saxophone after following us after we left. So like basically what Matt was saying, in Ramsgrange, to have like brunch, but it's jazz brunch. So basically you go down and eat your brunch in Ramsgrange and some fella plays the saxophone while you're in it.
In amongst the tables.
Where in Ramsgrange did this happen?
What's your man's
Dundon
name?
Has Dundon has a place.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're a fancy hotel.
Have you been?
I've been in there once or twice, yeah.
Jazz brunch.
Never been to the jazz brunch, no.
Oh, you must.
Must be on the bank holiday weekend and all the dubs are down.
Jazz brunch, lads. Right. Matt's down there now the whole time, just whining and dining women there. Down at the jazz brunch.
The jeans up to his calf. Huh?
He's got the ankles out, lad, yeah.
Just in case there's a flood.
Little waistcoat on him, then talking Spanish.
So on Maura's mystery topic about podcast 60 about kissing and telling, Olivia emailed us to say, just on the topic, lads are definitely 100% worse than young ones for kissing and telling, and I'll tell you why. I live in Calgary, but a few years ago I started off as an apprentice in an accountancy firm in our neighbouring town, Dingle. Lad, is Calgary not in Canada?
Yeah, I didn't know Calgary was in Kerry. Jesus, Dingle.
There you go. Maybe they're at opposite ends of the Atlantic, are they?
Possibly.
Anyway, I had dropped out of college. This is a handy way to earn a few bob, answering the phones, that kind of stuff. About 5 months in, it got awkward. Since fifth year of secondary school, I'd had a casual thing with a lad named Andrew, not his real name. That's fairly casual because she's about 22 writing this. Yeah. He was pretty cool, but not my type to bring home to mammy, if you know what I mean. We were seeing each other both between relationships, between flings, having the odd meaningless jostle. No one really knew about it and we kept it pretty private, or so I thought. I was sitting at my desk in work one morning after seeing Andrew the night before when my boss taps my shoulder. We had our usual morning, shocking weather chat, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. And he says to me, "So you're the Olivia I hear all about." And he grins at me. I looked at him confused and said, "Phelim."
Phelim.
Phelim, what kind of a fucking name is Phelim? As I do work here. You know, she's like, "I hope you did hear about me because I work here."
Yeah. Phelim.
Phelim? You serial killer. He walks away laughing and potters over to his desk. Later on that evening, Andrew invites me over to the house because his folks were going out. This was my first time in his house as our usual encounters were done elsewhere. I walked in the front door and first thing I seen is the boss's face plastered across his canvas with no other than the bowled Andrew and the rest of the family. I was mortified. It turns out Andrew, her casual bang, was Phelim, the boss's son, and he had told him all about their casual agreement. Told his dad.
Seriously.
Grim.
That is grim.
A few months later, on a night out in Waterford, I met a few of Andrew's friends and they enlightened me that Andrew had done nothing but brag about our encounters for years and told him every gory detail. Oh, I hope he didn't tell Phelim every gory detail.
Phelim was probably high-fiving him. Phelim was watching all the time.
They even knew,
sounds like something
Phelim. They even knew what colour knickers I wore. Needless to say, he got a big fat rejection the next time he texted. So lads are 100% worse than girls. You don't see me telling my mammy about it, do you? Shortly after, I left the accountancy firm and moved over to Calgary. I've been here nearly 7 years and my fiance and I are due to welcome our first child this May. She still gets the odd raunchy picture from Andrew and she doesn't miss it at all. That is just start to finish weird.
I wonder, are they going to call the first child Phelim?
Let's hope not.
A girl who asked to remain anonymous also said on Kissing and Telling, "I was very harshly dumped just before Christmas and then about 2 or 3 months ago I went on a date and we knew it wouldn't work long term. He doesn't want kids and I do. But we got on and look, full disclosure, we slept together pretty quickly. So we decided to make a bit of a friends with benefits fuck buddy thing out of it." Jeez. "I first just told my housemate but then I thought, feck it. In this day and age, we should be able to talk about our sex more openly, especially women. I think girls still feel like they'll be labelled a slut if they have casual sex. I've told all my friends about it. Now, I wouldn't go into details, but they're all delighted for me. Moving on and all that." Jesus Christ. "I knew he's told his friends, and I'm totally fine with it. I know he's not going into details because some of the stuff he's into, I know he wouldn't want his pals known. So anyway, I think we should all kiss and tell because sex is normal. We're all having it, and sure, look, it's fun to talk about. Just as long as people aren't sharing the big details. No one wants to hear that."
Yeah. Sure, the best way to get over someone is to get under someone, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's Rich from Mora, who does all the kissing and telling on this podcast.
Well, Jay from Limerick was loving your mystery topic last week. Tiger, I don't know if you heard it or not, but there's a movie where, what's his name, Channing Tatum, farts in the car with Joanne. Mm. And she rolls up the window and winks at him.
She rolls it up.
She rolls up the window.
She takes a pause and smells it. Yeah.
She's a derper.
So Jay from Limerick was in touch saying that he was going out with this one about 4 months and he still hadn't farted in front of her. And one night they're getting up to mischief. Anyway, she goes into the Jacks, the ensuite, and she farts for a good solid 5 seconds.
She went in and did the old cough and farted.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, do sometimes.
I double over laughing and she refused to come out for about 15 minutes. When she finally came out, she was bright red and wouldn't talk to me for the next 10 minutes. And it didn't help that Jay was roaring around the place laughing. So that was the end of the not farting in front of each other relationship. But they're still together. So he's wishing her a big happy birthday to the big 5 second farter.
Fair Jews, you know, they're all happy and smelly together. John Enright also dropped an email in relation to our minority sports segment on Podcast 61. He said, "We play Aussie Rules football in the AFL Ireland League." Oh, I didn't know there was one of them. "The men's and women's teams were competing at the Champions League last weekend in Amsterdam. The women's team swept the board and the men's team finished runners up to the host. It was a great tournament, great crack over there, competing against teams from 13 countries. AFL, Aussie Rules League.
Where do they play?
They played in some Champions League thing in Amsterdam, but they play in Ireland, the AFL Ireland League.
Where do they practice? Did you ever see the size of one of them pitches?
They're huge, yeah. They're huge. I'll give that a go, lad, if I got the knee right. They're sure.
Aussie Rules?
Yeah, sure, be class with that.
No way, cover some ground in Aussie Rules, lad.
No, but I'd be like, The big lad stands on the edge of the square.
There is no big lad who stands.
There is, like, there a tall lad, but, like, I'll get stilts or something.
You'd want to go karts.
Honestly, I watched the Aussie Rules on BT Sport, and they're cat at kicking the ball.
Yeah.
Like, 30 yards out, they're missing. Like, these guys are professionals.
They're queer fit, though, lad.
Yeah, I know, but, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? Just get into me, Paul, lad. Come on. Get it into the pod.
Let it in, son.
Pagan got in touch to say, lads, I usually listen to your podcast when I'm driving. However, today I decided I'd try listening to a podcast while in the gym. Best and worst thing. I was laughing so hard, and honestly, other than looking like a big idiot, I almost fell off the treadmill. Hardest thing ever, trying to run and not look like I was crying, when really I was trying to hide the laugh. The guy hopped on next to me and just chuckled at me when I let out a roar of laughter. But I'll say this, I ran 5K at my personal best, shaving 2 minutes off my previous time. So you guys were an amazing bit of distraction and entertainment to get me through. So thanks for everything. You guys are class. P.S. If it's any use to you, my twin brother will be attending your show on Wexford this Friday. He's a professional magician. Yes, really. And his name is Christian. Only... Only if you want a bit of entertainment yourselves after entertaining the big crowd, he's the one who introduced me to your podcast. Can't thank him enough, because it's a pleasure driving to work every day, bringing all the pods. Anyway, keep up the great work. Sound lads. P.S. Yes, Pagan is my real name. Mam and Dad thought Christian and Pagan would be a great laugh for twins. Oh, that's unbelievable. His
parents are twisted.
They're fucking
Pagan and Christian.
That's a
wine.
That's
a wine. I mean, it seems like he's from Wexford. Surely you know if there's two twins in Wexford called Christian and Pagan.
I've never heard of them.
There is a magician. There is a magician on Instagram, Christian Grey. So I must. Is he? Yeah.
What's his second name?
Grey. G R E Y.
No, Pagan's the magician.
No, no, Christian's the magician.
Oh.
Pagan Grey. Lad, it sounds like a coat of paint. You'll be torching up the chapel.
Faro and Balls.
No,
anyway, Johnny lads, who you fancy for the Noel's News mug?
The mug. I kind of like Pagan there now. In fairness, he's catching the eye.
I don't know. I like the lad who's miming in Offaly.
Go on. You want to send the mug to Offaly? Be intercepted, lad. Be intercepted on the way. What do you think, Mark?
I'll go with Johnny B's choice.
Hey. Right, I'll go with him. So just for sheer handiness.
So that is sponsored by Hairy Baby down in Cork. They're going to look after hairybaby.com, and Mara will be in touch with you about that.
Yeah.
Johnny, busy week. We're at the Go Games in Croke Park.
Yeah, we're at the Go Games in Croke Park.
It's Connacht this week, so all high balls into the square.
High balls in, lad. Yeah, at our gas, aren't they? Like this. So the age range of the Go Games is to go from like 8 to 12. Mm. The 8-year-olds are, you know, there's younger than that, like, because clubs are saying, you bring the under eights, and they're just bringing everyone who's a member of the club. So it's 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, they can barely balance their heads with the helmets, like, little helmets nearly tipping them off. They're lovely. Then the 12-year-olds trying to be cool. Like,
yeah.
Picture that. Yeah. Fucking no bother, so lad. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they'd nearly be going like, oh, yeah, have a picture there and a pint because I'm cool because I'm 12. So anyone out there trying to be cool and be 12, don't. It's not a good look for you.
The 12-year-olds just come up and they shout at you like, add me on Instagram.
Yeah, like, yeah,
and I'm
great.
Like, why? I don't know. I'd be on Instagram. And then they'd put up their page and they'd have no posts. Like, why am I going to follow you, lad? I would like catch the attention of the police if I was to start following you. Like, so
they can like ring you on Snapchat as well. And then if you don't answer, they'd be like, why didn't you answer? Just be like, why? Like, why would I answer?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Don't know you.
Poor old kids. Yeah,
seems like you're getting bullied by a bunch of 12-year-olds.
We kind of are.
Johnny's having to change his number. He's got his number, lad. They've hacked in. We uploaded two videos this week. First day on the site and backstage of Vicar Street.
Yeah, YouTube.
So make sure and go follow the YouTube page. And we're recording this podcast a bit earlier as usual. We're going on the Get Loose Marathon over Easter weekend. By the time you're listening to this, we'll have brought the show to Naas, Wexford, Kilkenny and Cork. And then there'll only be one show left, which is Carrick and Shannon, and there's a few tickets left for that.
Yeah.
If you want to buy them.
Any advice for us, Tig, now before we're doing Whites of Wexford on Friday night?
Run for your life.
It's a great time, Wexford. Watch out for the scorpion of accents.
Queer bad, son.
What's it like to go out when there's a town, Wexford town?
Nice pubs in Wexford Town. I haven't been out in the stores of nightclubs, the Mecca when you're younger.
I was in there once, yeah.
I was in there once as well, it was enough.
I was only 17 doing the Leaving Cert, so you're always sweating about going up. Like,
I say that somehow.
Bouncers, like, everyone knows the bouncers in there. Like,
I say when you were 17, you were bigger than the bouncers, anyway.
We've seen the photo of you, lad. You're a giant.
I was roundy enough, I would have to be fair. Yeah, you get into the stores, it was the best night ever. Like, you know, Stephen's night, all right, and big night, you'd be in there at 9:30 and waiting for the just to make sure you got in there.
No one else in there, the six other lads.
Yeah, nowadays, like, there's some really good pubs around and stuff.
Yeah. You were in a few of the pubs down there.
I was. I think Wexford is, it's getting a bit cooler. Like, there's, I mean, it's all the wine is
just craft beer there.
So yeah.
Oh, yeah. He loves that.
Yeah. Me now, yeah.
I like the old craft beer stuff down there. I would go in.
They do
Yellow Belly and all them.
Yeah.
That's good time. Not that you get to drink it. You're on the clean living now.
No, I tend to strictly stick to Guinness now, and to be fair.
I thought you were going to say Lucozade Sport or something
Oh, Jesus Christ. That voice you're hearing, of course, is Irish rugby star Ty Furlong, who's kindly let us into his sit
star, room. Yeah.
Kind of sit. Do you like that, lad? Like, we put that together there now.
How does that sit with you? Star.
I wouldn't be overly.
Yo, you don't like star?
No.
Oh, lad, people were calling me that, I'd be buzzing. I'm begging people to call me that. Two Johnny star.
No.
Doesn't sit well. Team player, all that.
Exactly,
all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
what should we call you?
Just Ty.
Ty, rugby player.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be perfect.
Okay.
Growing up in Wexford, you were just talking about Wexford there, Wexford town. What was it like growing up? Like, you were raised on a farm.
Yeah, so I came from, I wouldn't be too far from Matthew O'Hanlon's house there. You guys know pretty well. You had him on last week.
Yeah, you couldn't be more different.
Do you think?
I'd say he's never got his hands dirty.
He's from the farm as well. Luke,
is he?
He's tipping away on the farm.
He kept that quiet.
Lad, he wouldn't be wearing them jeans down the farm.
No, for sure. Speaking Spanish to the cows.
Looking into their eyes.
I'm a cita.
I had to ask you, like, living up in Dublin stuff, lads would be asking, like, you know, what was it like? You think if our alien coming from the country, like, when you were up here first. It's normal for me, isn't it? It's the way I grew up. And
were lads expecting you to be down training just dating Ross Budge or something?
There's enough stories. But our nutritionist came out, I say it was last year, and said I was addicted to Spuds. And honestly, I was getting tagged on Instagram, and as far away as New Zealand, like, Irish road player addicted to Spuds. Which he was having a laugh and a joke about it, but then people take everything like that seriously. It just went everywhere.
I went down to YouTube Pigeonhole yesterday.
Yeah.
Just looking at a few interviews you've done, so that, like, we know, like, what to be saying to you. So, and I came across this clip. Maura's going to just play it there, lad.
Oh, I can see if I can find it.
This might be where that whole story came from.
I love Spuds. Like, end of, I love Spuds. So, the lads will tell you, everyone will tell you, I love Spuds. Boiled, roast, mashed, bit of onion in them on the side. Add a bit of gravy in there, lads, and it's a perfect storm. So if I could sit down Christmas dinner, just eat Spuds, I'd be happy.
Perfect storm! Onions and Spuds, perfect storm!
My father now would die. That's asking about the Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
I think we're up in Leinster Rugby.
I'm
sure I was taking the mix
and
stuff. I'd be winding the lads up halftime.
I think my favourite part was, like, where Rob Kearney came on before him. It was like, you know, the gallon of gravy you put on the dinner, and it was just like, I love Spuds.
I do love Spuds. I won't shy away from that.
What are your favourite type of Spuds?
Oh, sure, look, really coming season at home, the Pinker, the British Queen, would be pretty nice, wouldn't
it? Yeah, like an old roast Spud. Now, we had Spuds, we had the Spud there.
Yeah,
it was actually lovely, creamy Spuds.
I'm actually full to the neck on Spuds after that.
We had.
How many?
Left the stuff behind him, lads. Johnny left half Spuds to play.
Oh, you left nothing after
Johnny left behind, lad. Tight dusted it off, lad.
Left nothing.
Left it off. Wouldn't have to waste
that. It was good stuff, lad.
Well, then, when you're training hard, how many Spuds a day are you on?
I don't quantify how much you eat by how many Spuds.
Sorry, there's probably a more scientific method now.
It depends on, I suppose, on the day of the week it is, and your demand for calories, really, and your demand for carbohydrate, which is Spuds. So, you know, you're talking Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, which are, and then, you know, leading up to a game on Saturday, you're looking for, you know, high energy stuff. So, a lot of lads live for carb load, and you always hear lads living for carb load, and some lads love pasta, some lads love this, that, and other. I stick to the Spuds. I pig out in Spuds.
Hardcore.
You can let go of that.
Hardcore Spud.
Let yourself go with
a few
Spuds.
Because I look at food, and honestly, I blow up. I have to be tight enough. Like, I know by looking at me, you don't look after yourself too well. I can throw weight on so easy. So I have to be relatively tight.
Ireland win the Grand Slam. Furlong's in the dressing room just nailing a big plate of Spuds.
Well, they always have, you love goujons. They always throw goujons after the game. They might get a pizza slice as well in the Viva.
I must take up the rugby, lad. Give it an old bet.
Yeah, I thought, though, you'd be just allowed to eat as much as you want because you're big and you're training so hard.
No, really depends. Like on a day off, like you really have to cut back, or like on a Sunday after a game where you think, oh jeez, I worked hard yesterday, I can eat what you want. You just can't. Oh, I definitely can't. But some lads, yeah. I see, you know, James Ryan with us, he can just put away food, put away food, put away food, and just still stay like a rate. The poor devil can't put on weight.
Love that.
Josh Van der Fleur is injured at the minute. He's drinking Lucozade in the dressing room, trying to keep weight on.
Some lads have.
I don't know if I'm lucky or not, because like them boys have to torture themselves to eat food to keep weight on. Whereas
I'd absolutely love that lad. Do you know what, like, you see some of the young lads, like, and even in the GA, they're like, they can't put on weight, they're eating loads, and like, jeez, if I ate like I get like that, lad, they'd be rolling me in a wheelbarrow. Swear to God, I wouldn't be able to walk.
I look at Mikado and blow
up. Dreaming about Mikado's, lad.
And do you have to do wicked gym work then? Are you in the gym every day of the week? Or?
Depends. Like, usually you have one good, strong upper lower lift a week. So, and then apart from that, it's kind of just prepping up for a game. Like this stage of the season we're in now, you know, it's pretty light on gym work. But like most of your work is done in pre-season, and I tend to kind of gradually lose a small bit of muscle mass as the season goes on. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. We couldn't believe it. You were in camp today for what time? 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I started with the physio this morning at 7, yeah.
And it's a full day until 4 o'clock?
Yeah, today's busy. Monday and Tuesday tend to be heavy days. You know, you're talking 7, half 7. Depends. Different lads, different schedule kind of job. But you'd be in early, trying to get a lot of injury prevention stuff done, really, where at this stage of the season, everyone has knocks and bangs. And
yeah.
You're just trying to stay on top of everything so you can out in the field and play at the weekend.
Man, that's like 8 hours. You're just stretching and what do you be doing for that? You know,
it's handy enough. So you do about 45 minutes of like that prehab kind of injury prevention stuff, and I actually got drug tested there today as well.
Oh, is that where you have to pee in front of somebody?
Yeah.
Oh God!
To let you up?
No, they're looking at it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That must be tough. I can't barely go to urinals. Never mind, like some fella staring right at
me. The cubicle, and then
just the two of you.
So you can't go for number two without number one. So yeah.
Oh man, jeez, what I'd be dropping off there now. So that there from the drug. Why that going?
Yeah.
What's that lad? I definitely garlic last night. Jeez.
And you just have a load of meetings stuff, like your Mondays, your review and your preview, and then you have a lot of meetings, walkthroughs, gym session in there, pitch session. Time goes by fairly quick.
I'm reconsidering the rugby, no.
There's no money out of it. Stick to Little Rosario, do you want it? Huh? A&B, Little Rosario, you stick to that.
Oh, lad, I tell you, the corporate work, lad, is where it's at. And was it always rugby fair? Like obviously, we've all seen that clip yet, like, you know, tormenting some young lad at under 12 or 14, is it like that clip on YouTube where you solo up the pitch?
Yeah.
Hand pass it off. Your man tries to give you a sneaky dig then while they're number three. But not happening.
That joke just keeps rearing its head every now and again.
I don't know who uploaded it.
I don't know how it got there, but every now and again, lads are just like, oh, look what you hear.
100,000 views.
Is it?
On YouTube, yeah. I looked it yesterday, I went deep, lad. I was fucking.
I suppose, look, growing up in Wexford's. Every parish is J Club, really, and we were in this shooken up position where we only had six boys in our primary school class, so everyone talked out, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And well, we kind of alternated, so I just love sport, to be fair, and there was no pushing and dragging or
acting
on me to go at it. I used to, you know, summer hurling football and the winter and rugby.
Did you ever try the soccer?
I did try soccer for 1 year. Under 12 joined us, used to coach us. Anyone from camp, I know Joe English. He's mad as a box of frogs. And if you're late or anything, I used to turn up from rugby training covered in muck, and I was wearing rugby boots. They're really
big
studs. Yeah. Eight studs, 21mm studs in it, trying to kick a soccer ball around us. I played centre half.
I wouldn't like to go up against
me, sweep. I never forget it. Carter, you know, the wing back pushes up, and I go across, and he'd fly in, shouting and ball yowling.
When's the last time you played hurling or football?
Actually went to watch Horace Wood play junior hurling. I think it was down our ladies' island there a few years ago. It could have been 3 years ago this summer, maybe. And I went down to watch it. I was in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt and whatever. And half time, we were getting well bet, and they asked me if they wanted to come on. So I said, jeez, I'd do for the crack. Before Martin Furlong came off, he gave me the boots, the hurl, and the helmet.
Where did you go on?
Went in full forward.
Lad, imagine the full back. Like, you know, going, we're up by 8 points. Jesus, there's like
no fear of me, room too quick.
How did you go?
I was alright. edge there. Like, you'd be rusty out, like.
Yeah, hurling's tough.
It's different putting around the ball for the crack and then trying to go out and...
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, lad. I played all the way up through school. I went to the council in Ross, which would be... it'd be a good hurling football school. Yeah. And I played all the way up there. I played a bit of Wexford underage and stuff like that. Tony Forrestal, did you play Tony Forrestal?
Oh man,
a fella called Johnny Delahunty, and I found out not so long ago he's working in a car dealership in Waterford, and I was playing fullback, he was playing full forward, and he scored 2 points from play, but he gave me a woeful roasting. Chunky Curtis, a friend of mine, was cornerback, so every time he got the ball he turned me, he used to pass it over Chunky Taylor, he came up to me. His man scored 1-6 or something. This is a joke with Chunky about it.
The two points didn't sound too bad then. Yeah.
And Jesus, that he was winning everything. If I didn't try to take the head off, no one's doing it. He's going up for the high balls. I don't know what happened.
At what age then did you leave Wexford and go full time at the rugby?
Left school at 17, so then I would have joined. No, I was playing underage stuff for Leinster all the way up, and sort of joined an academy, a sub academy it's called, in Donnybrook there. Spent a year there, and that was brutal. Imagine a lad moving up to the country at 17, college, unbelievable crack. But then you're in every morning at 7 o'clock. Like, it's kind of just to weed out, you know, who wants to do it or who doesn't. And then, lucky enough, I kind of started playing underage, under 20s with Ireland, and then I went on to a 3-year academy with Leinster, and then that's kind of it.
So as soon as they bring you up at 17, you're thrown into college, like?
Yeah, I did college, yeah, I finished college. Yeah. I was lucky enough that, well, lucky unlucky, few bad old injuries when I was in academy, which is probably from 18 to kind of 20 years of age. And
what's your qualification in?
I'm a Bachelor of Business Studies.
No way!
Yeah.
It's a good idea, like, you know that. Like, you see it, especially with the soccer players, like, they go through getting no education, they finish, they're fucked, they're broke in a year, like, do you know what I mean? Whereas, like, at least you have that now, you'll always have that. Like.
Yeah, they push it. I mean, just lads in with us in the senior squad in Leinster at the minute. One of them studying to be a doctor, Josh Murphy.
Wow.
That's madness, isn't it?
That's crazy.
And then there's lads, masters in engineering and stuff done at Edinburgh. It's
plans in place.
Crazy smart, yeah.
Well, and any big plans yourself for after rugby, or do you think that far ahead?
I don't think I'd like to live in Dublin for the rest of my life. I'm trying to fit in, like, what would you like to do? Obviously I have the farm back home and stuff, but even when the outfella has the farm, you know, he's a butcher and a farmer at the same time, so it's not a full-time gig. So I was thinking of kind of doing accountancy exams, because it's a good fit for
accountancy
in rugby, because you can kind of do them off in bite-sized chunks and do night class and stuff like that. It'd be a good fit. And then I don't necessarily know if I want to be an accountant.
Yeah, I can't see it.
It's a good qualification to have university, you know what I mean?
No, 100%.
Transcends business.
Oh.
The farm will suit more, lad.
Yeah.
Say the farm will suit more.
Yeah, John Delaney qualified as accountant, and it's going well for him, I think.
It's going grand for him. I've seen, like, during the week, actually a clip showed up on Twitter, Roy Keane saying a few years ago, and he's Ipswich manager, like, to run about when Ireland and France, Ireland looking for the game to be replayed, and he was like, who said that? John Delaney? Don't trust a thing from that man. And then, like, this video is going viral during the week. Hey, look, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you get back to the farm much?
Yeah, I'm probably 2 hours 20 down the road to the home place from here. So, probably looking for a full weekend, really. You're not going up and down for a day.
Yeah.
Back, you'll be broke.
Jesus,
if you get home, yeah. Love getting home. All the boys are still knocking around home and stuff like that.
And what's it like when you go home? Like, is it like your friends are obviously like just treat you normal?
Yeah.
Then people are just plaguing you. Are they like, or what's it like at home?
Everyone means well. Like, it's nice when you go home just to spend, you know, time with the parents and just see the lads and catch up.
Yeah,
visit the cows and
see the crack of the cows. Yeah,
wrestling up a few calves, lad, or something. You know, keeping shit.
Stay away from calf season anyway. Don't get a job.
What was the story last week? Seen on, was it on your Instagram? You were like, bring the calf off a boat. That was down in Whiddy Island.
Yeah, my mother's place. My mother comes from an island off Bantry Bay. It's about a kilometre off the coast, called Whiddy Island. A small island, about 20-25 people live on it. Mad place, great crack, unbelievable crack. And Duncan had bought some calves in the mart. He's my godfather, actually. I'm shit scared of him. He's a scary man, huge, like, fisherman, hardy old dude. He gave me a call and he was kind of, come down to the piano, I have a few calves. And I was like, Grant, I didn't understand a word he said. I was like, yeah, you peer, I'll be down there, yeah. So we got down anyway, I see all the calves in the boat. And I was like, right. He's like, give us a hand lifting them up there, will you, Pete?
Oh,
so up the steps, boat in at the pier, up the steps, calves into the back of '91 Berlingo van or something. The two wing mirrors missing, and the door closed with bailing twine and all. Oh, man.
Jesus Christ, tell you one thing, that's some absolute hardship.
Yeah, I can't see you as an accountant, lad. No.
One of the cats that have scoured and ruined, I mean. Didn't take to the boat very well.
And hey, was that like, that was on your, like, you had a day off, went down there for more hardship, lad. You're like, so.
Yeah, it's good crack, though. You know what I mean? My uncle, I swear, all my family, I have only four first cousins, yeah, right. And all of them are similar age to me. But every one of them is on this island, and we need them, so it's. I spent so many summers down there.
Yeah. That seems like some crack, though. We did some material.
The uncle has the boat in there. If you want to get a tourist, the ferry, the passenger boat, in out on the uncle's boat. He has the pub, bike hire. He's the postman. He's the,
Jeez, he's everything.
He's the waterman. He's everything.
He's the king.
You should be an accountant for him.
That's like, cash business, lad.
Cash business, like. That's the words of a great accountant, man.
And, hey, what do the other Leinster boys make of all this, like? Are they all from... Many of them are private school Dublin lads, are they? Are you the only proper country man in there?
No, there'd be a few.
Yeah?
Sure.
Sean?
Yeah, Brian, our boys, Peter Dooley from Bart. There's loads of lads scattered around the province. You probably get more when you're... Like, all the lads now are so sound, they all know you.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Whatever, you know what I mean? But I found when they probably came up to Dublin first, and you're mixing in with the sort of, you know, not sound stereotypical, but the schools, lads. You know, you get a bit of slagging or whatever, and you have a massive chip on your shoulder then to kind of prove yourself, because you feel that they think you're inferior.
I remember one of the first times I came to Dublin, like, it was for a tip game, and your mom's like, "You all right there in the pub?" I was like, "Can I get a can of cider?" And she was like, "Oh, do you want a solid turf with that?" I was like, "Oh, hey, you know. They don't do cans up here, like." Well, like,
yeah,
who was I to know that, like? 17 years old. 40.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, do you like living in Dublin for now, anyway?
Yeah, it's nice, like, obviously training.
It's handy, you know, handy, down the road.
It's down the road. And, you know, when you're young, it's a good lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can pop out there, you can meet lads handy and all the crap. But you still say, you do miss home, don't you?
Yeah.
Home's home at the end of that.
Exactly, yeah. You haven't went into the whole hipster lifestyle up here in Dublin, right?
No.
You're not, like, you know, dining out in these fancy restaurants, vegan places, lad.
No, not for me now.
They're not good for you,
not
lad.
For me, John. Not for me.
Spuds, lad.
Spuds, lad. Down to Urban Health, lad. Just play a spuds there, please. Class. No, and World Cup's coming up. We're not going to ask you too much now. We don't want to be talking rugby talk, but, like, are them camps born? That was my one question. Like, you know when you go away with the Lions?
Oh, yeah.
Say a Lions tour, like... It seems like great crack when the DVD comes out.
Yeah.
But, like, that's condensed down. That's an hour and 20 minutes. Like, you're on tour for, what, 4 or 6 weeks, like?
Lions tour is different. Like, when you're in it, you're like, Jesus Christ. You're kind of saying, I've seen all these DVDs.
Yeah, the DVDs are class.
Because you're broke up, lad, and you're on the plane every 3 days. You just don't get time to settle. You get no time off. You're always playing, and the pressure on you is mad.
Yeah.
But then, towards the end of it, you know, it's good crack. But, like, I suppose a lot of it is work, and you have to... You're not a tourist either, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's it like, you know, rooming with and, you know, playing with lads that you're trying to kill, you know, a few weeks later, like?
With the Lions?
Yeah.
Most of it's good crack.
Who'd you room with?
You change up, you don't get to choose.
Okay, right.
When it got to the sort of the test, you got to pick who you want to room with. But a lot of times they suck you with the kind of props or hookers, just to get a bit of relationship with them.
But you could be rooming with some lads, like, you'd have to break him up in the previous Six Nations, like.
I know that, yeah. And towards the end, Conor Murray roomed together. There's nothing worse, you know, when you go into a hotel room and you see who your room with, and you're like, all these formalities again, how are you? You know, getting the whole background story. Sometimes you just want to say nothing to nobody and just go to bed and be comfortable in the silence, you know that way?
You're sitting in the pool and you're sitting in the room, let's say, nothing for 12 hours, staring at the room.
And to be fair, Macko wasn't the worst of it. Yeah. You go to a crack, some of the lads, you know, be drawing hen's teeth back.
Yeah. That was down the pigeonhole. I went down yesterday on YouTube. You're going in and you're like off your feet. And he comes over and slaps you into the arse at full force, like as if to say, like, come out of it. And I'm like, I was like, oh, I don't fancy that. Jesus Christ. He looks like a tough man, in fairness to him.
Macko, looks like half like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
His ears are horrible.
Yeah.
Look up,
Michael. His ears are horrendous. Yeah, horrendous.
But I'd not be afraid of, like, giving away any tactics or secrets right now.
You're pretty open about it. Sure, what can you do? You can see everything on film.
Yeah, you can watch it anyway.
Because rugby is so analysed nowadays.
Yeah.
They didn't really know everything anyway.
They know everything, yeah.
Johnny saw it on YouTube, sure. Yeah,
yeah. Tell you, lads, all you need is a YouTube rabbit hole. Next week I'll be managing fucking some rugby team now or something like that.
I'm hoping for YouTube. Do you know, before you go to, you know, down the sitting room wherever before you went to bed, you just go into this rabbit hole.
Usual, yeah. You end up watching all sorts of stuff.
What are you on lately?
Oh, lad, I got mad into the military and, like, you know, and then weirdly enough, I got into cruise liners and how they worked. The boys, I was, when I was over the lines, I was watching all the stuff about, God, what was it? Airports. How airports, when you put your bag on, how the hell does it get on the plane? And Conor Murray was with me. He was like, you're watching that airport stuff again. What's wrong with this? I just find it interesting, right? Or, you know, you listen to Joe Rogan or something. Then you go, he's talking about something, you're like, what's that? And you go down the nerd rabbit hole.
That's the thing, especially with, like, if you hear something, I think, in the podcast, like, I'd end up Googling, like, some soccer clip now or something from the 90s.
Yeah.
And then, like, 4 hours later, I'm watching a Paul Gascoigne documentary. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy, like, where you go down.
Suggested videos are dangerous that time.
That's hilarious. You'd be doing some YouTube, I say, when you're out in the world, up in Japan, lads.
It's like coppers. You know, you look at your clock, you're watching coppers, like, 1 o'clock grand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, wouldn't I sleep in fresh tomorrow? Next thing you look at it again, half hour in the hour.
Look at it again, Wednesday. Oh, jeez.
It's like vanishing time somehow. It just disappears.
Oh, that's brilliant stuff.
Any thoughts to go into management yourself down the line?
Coaching?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
It's easy to say no. I don't think so. I think to be a coach nowadays, you know, it's very time consuming. Mm. You're away a lot. And then you're also travelling. Like, you know, do I want... It's not easy to pick up a job straight after rugby in Leinster or Dublin or... Wherever in Ireland, so you're probably going to up sticks and move.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be me, to be fair.
Yeah. You're a homebird.
I would be a bit one, yeah. I always, you know, lads going on holidays and stuff, sometimes I just love to go home or I love to go down to Whitty where it's, you know, a totally different change of scenery. And, you know, sun holidays as well, like, it's not for me. Oh, I'm terrible in the sun. Do you know, you always go out there, like, right, go have it on you, my girlfriend, and you say, we're going off to the sun here now, wherever. In the sun beds now and you lash the sun cream on you, but then 5 minutes later I'm sweating and I'm absolutely boiling and then I'm kind of wiping sweat off, but I'm wiping off sun cream as well and it's just grease and it's just not comfortable.
Poor Anya's out in the sun bed, you're just in the room looking how bags get onto an airplane. I'll be out in a few minutes.
I'm at all these brand new cruise lines, the Caribbean, is it some Caribbean company that they're unbelievable, you want to see them?
You're gonna have to watch
that. I don't want to go on a cruise. I have no interest in going on a cruise now. Just to put that out there. Soon again, sun cream, grease. I don't like it.
There's a lot of sun companies now listening, lad, to this podcast. Going to offer you a lot of cruise liners now.
Jet to holiday.
Tyke Furlong next week, lad. TV ad. Come to the Caribbean. Pure greasy sun cream, lad.
The raw spun, of course. You can point paddy head on you. Not bad.
Careful with your shoulder.
Oh, lads, on that note, lad, we call
it. Have a quick fire round, Johnny?
Yeah, I have a quick fire round, Tyke. We finish this with
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I already know this because we're talking about Barry's or Lions?
Barry's,
boy. Who would you rather beat right in the match, England or the All Blacks?
I think All Blacks be number one in the world.
Okay. Supermax or McDonald's?
Supermax.
Boiled spuds or roast spuds?
Boiled spuds.
He looked at you with such anger. What are you talking about?
Which carny is most fond of themselves, lad? Robert Dave?
Robert.
Robert. Who knows more about growing grass, Sean O'Brien or Peter O'Mahony?
Oh, Peter O'Mahony's. Oh.
What is he, some sort of like a grass expert?
He's after buying, like, you know, the push on lawnmowers. He's bought the ones they use in Old Trafford.
No.
For where?
For his back garden. Oh. Sure, you wouldn't swing a cat in it. Well, he's mad into the grass. Anyway, I've seen him on Instagram there, sanding and all that. Loves his grass.
Some head. Would you rather Wexford win in All Ireland or €1 million? Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
$1 million all day.
Yeah.
Pay the mortgage.
Pay the mortgage.
Buying all Ireland.
Out $1 million. Yeah. Martin Story or Larry O'Gorman?
Larry O.
And lastly, Richie Kavanagh or Seamus Moore?
Richie Kavanagh. I love Richie Kavanagh. We're listening to the character there. Fagan's chipper band, my favourite. Oh. Oh, my name is Danny Fagan. I'm a hard working man. And I always wanted for to own a little chipper band. I love it.
Oh, that's
by Richie Kavanagh.
His son threw us into Richie Kavanagh CD one time into the car. We're up in Carlisle. His son, Richie's son. Yeah. Actually, Johnny is a t-shirt. Richie Kavanagh t-shirt. Stay with her, Johnny.
I used to love that when you're doing a video and they're going around the rally car.
Stay with her, Johnny. Stay. Yeah,
driver straight side.
Driver straight side, right, lad.
I'm an awful man, not for jamming girls.
See me do it. A handbrake tired, and I'm a awful man to make the tires burn. And the backing singers, he has in the backing.
Yeah. Stay with her, Johnny. Stay with her, Johnny.
Which was the one where he was going around the place and he loaded, was everyone dressed up as a chicken?
Chicken Talk.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard the song.
Johnny, it's classic. Buck, 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 buck off.
Now this is Chicken Talk.
Buck, 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 buck off. And it went buck, 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 buck off. And it went buck, 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 buck off.
That's Richie.
James Moore.
Transit fan. Big Bamboo, yeah.
JCB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working for the Yankee dollar.
Did you ever see the live concerts of Ninny's in overalls?
Yeah.
He must be fucking sweating. Big pair of overalls on him, like.
Oh, Seamus Moore.
Two eyes might still go on. Jesus
Christ. Jeez, if Seamus Moore is listening, give us a show.
Yeah, you know, Seamus.
That is Seamus.
We'll have Furlong on the back and singing that. Stay with her. Right, on that note, we're going to call it. Ty, thanks very much.
No,
thanks, man. There's no theory of evolution. There's just creatures that my next guest has let live. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
I'm young fella.
Well, Noel, how are you?
I'm fine.
It's good to have you in Dublin, anyway.
It's great to be here. Tig.
How is it now?
You were missed at Pauline's christening last Sunday.
Couldn't make it, I'm sorry.
Well, they were very disappointed. They went up to the Shamrock afterwards, got food. Margaret from the Shamrock says, "Where's Tig? Where's the bucket?" You weren't there. She had to throw out 4,000 cocktail sausages and 5 pounds of salt. I ate as many as I could. And them sausages, they're more salt on them than the Indian Ocean. I swear, I was walking home and I thought, if I fall into the river, I'll probably float. Saved by the buoyancy of sausages from the Shamrock.
Oh, Jesus.
How's the father?
Keeping well now, yeah.
He not answering my phone calls?
He doesn't have a mobile phone.
What?
The house phone.
Yeah, he not answering.
Disconnect that, man.
You know why he not answering my calls?
Well.
He owes me a fiver. It's fact, he don't want to pay it back. But he owed me a fiver. And I remember it because he won Best Cooking Apples at the 1998 Banjo Show. And them apples were leaning over into my, they were my apples, technically. And there was a £5 prize that day. And I hate to say it about my own family, but he took the money and he skipped town. He took the prize money, okay? Now, I'm willing to forgive, forget, between furlongs. I'm willing to let it go if you can hand over the fiver now. And I also want to say thanks to Arnia for tame biscuits. And the slice of tart that I just ate will not be deducted from the €5. Do you think we could come to some sort of arrangement between family now?
Is that £5 or
five euro? £5.
It was £5 at the time.
Any idea what that is in modern money? No, no.
We'll just go €5.
Okay, fair enough.
One for one, man for man. I think we can sort it out after the podcast.
We might have to come to some
resolution. Some sort of an arrangement.
Okay, look, I'm going to drive on. We can talk later. And I want to get straight into the news, okay? This week, we're going to Russia. Now, I'll never forgive them for what they did to you two. I was telling you about that last week. But the big news out of Russia this week, there are no crack. But apart from that, there's a priest in Russia and he have a wife. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Okay? And she's fucking tasty.
Good bit of biscuit.
Oh, she put a horn on Bosco. Do you remember the television show?
Yeah.
The little lad in the box.
I know.
Hello, everybody. Remember that fella? Okay? Now, she's fucking lovely. She is a lovely woman. And she won a competition called Miss Sensuality at a beauty pageant last week, right? Now, I don't know what you have to do to win Miss Sensuality, but I didn't see her bake any scones. You know? So, she's a fine woman. And I tell you, she had that kind of a glint in her eye. Do you know? You could dip your chips in her.
Oh, fuck.
She's that kind of a woman now, right? Now, the church in Russia are going so mad over this. They're saying the archpriest, must be like the Russian kind of archbishop job, Fyodor Saprykin, and he is chair of the diocesan church the court there, and he declared that it is a great sin when the wife of a priest exposes herself for show. Oh. And I know where he's coming from, but, you know, some things are between a man and his wife.
Yeah.
Okay? But he probably said that thinking that the priest's wife wouldn't be hectic. But he haven't seen the priest's wife, who's a flaking woman. This could turn out to be the greatest recruitment drive from the church. You know, if people thought that's what a priest's wife looked like.
They'd all be joining.
Yeah. It'd be the best drive since... Do you remember when the collar used to get you into the cinema free? Yeah.
Is that a big one, yeah?
That was a big one. Lord Last Giant for the free cinema. Back in the day. Do you remember there was a priest in our town, Father Cullum, and he went to the cinema 3 times a week. And to the same film would be on. And he'd be up and he'd be down the back. He'd be shouting what was going to happen next. And he was claiming it was God told him. And the fucking whore, he'd have whiskey coming out his ears. But he got barred from the cinema for the finish.
What do you do?
For fucking roaring.
Okay.
But he'd mad into the films.
Jeez.
Yeah, he left priesthood in the end. He actually went on to direct Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yeah. It's funny how things work out. But this lady, like, I nearly joined the priesthood myself. No. If I thought this is the kind of woman you get, only if I don't like wine or praying. But so the priest in question, have it here. His name is Father Sergei Zatov, and he's head priest of a cathedral in the city of Magnitogorsk, which is, of course, famous for its underage camogie structure. But as the old saying goes, Magnitogorsk, they never do it at senior. As the old saying goes, right. So that's a fact. But this priest has been sent away from the city to work in a little village in the middle of nowhere. That's his punishment for the wife entering the beauty pageant, okay? And the bishop said, what kind of a priest is he if he cannot control his own family? So the bishop said. Now, I'm still struggling with the priest having a family, yeah. To be honest. This is a new thing on me. So the Russian Orthodox Church is like separate to the church that we have. Do you know, it's like you had the Wolf Tones and then Derek Warfield kind of went his own way. He's still going, but like it's not the same.
Not the same, yeah.
So Orthodox priests can marry and yeah, you have to look after your family. As my father would say, don't boil the kettle unless you're going to drink the tea. Do you get me? Do you know? But I had 4 uncles who became priests.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they were all over the place. With my uncle, Father Declan, he was in the missions in Sudan, in Africa. And he had a tough job. He was trying to convert locals away from human sacrifices and witch doctrine, paganism. He was trying to get them to Christianity. And, no, sorry, he was in Longford. It was Father Senin who was in Sudan.
All right.
Yeah, he said it was lovely. It was very warm. And they all spoke African. He couldn't get over it. He couldn't believe it. All fucking walking around speaking African. So the priest's wife, they said if she repents, they might let him come back to the city. But I think she should be allowed to do whatever she wants.
It's true.
You know? Like, as long as the dinner's on the table and the home fire is burning... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The old...
Yep.
Sex. But that's Russia. Okay. And there was photos of the priest's wife on Google.
Okay.
But they're gone.
Right.
Yeah. There was bikini photos of her and they're gone now. And I know that because I spent 6 hours looking for them. So, our second story. We're off to the Horn of Africa. And it's not a pornography tape in our dirty video you get off the Video Man. Do you remember the Video Man?
Yeah.
Would you had a Video Man going on? You could rent an old video off me and call around to the house.
Yeah.
Do you have an old Video Man down your way?
Oh, never.
You never had a Video Man?
We used to have lads going around vans selling
pirates, yeah.
Selling pirates, that's what it looked like.
Pirate tapes.
Well, sure, he's a rental man.
in extra vision, Ross, we're looking
up
like.
Jesus, you were
modern lad, we're modern now.
No, it's like around Tipperary, we're shooking up though. You didn't even have Blockbuster, did you?
No, I never had a Blockbuster, lad.
I had a Blockbuster, a 6-pound hammer. That's close I got to the Blockbuster. But our video man was called Paddy Skin. Because he used to say, how are your skin? That's what he'd say. Paddy Skin, the video man. And if you gave Paddy Skin the nod, he'd give you the dirty video. But the code word was Choom. Right?
Choom.
Yeah. But it got very confusing when the Saw Doctors released the live video. So I wish I was on that. We got the fucking N69. We got Adelie Cormack's birthday party. It was quite the education for a couple of young lads. That's a fucking fact. But the Horn of Africa has a place called Somalia. Okay? It's a bit of a kip. Somalia has gone very rough. There's a load of lads there called Al-Shabaab. Did you ever hear them? Some of them are he knows about the cruises. Ty knows about the cruises. Al Shabaab. Oh, just don't go near them, boys. They are rough. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
They're worse than the Rovers crowd. Al Shabaab. Yeah. So they have Al Shabaab in is Arabic, right? But it actually translates to the guys. That's a fact. The lads. But they're actually shit crack, these lads now. Do you ever hear the word Mujahideen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a youth movement. Now, it kind of sounds like a Chinese takeaway or something, Mujahideen, but it's not. It's like the kind of ISIS version of Makra. Okay. Not much crack. So, and long story short, Somalia is fucked. Okay. There's bombs going off the whole time. And I just want to take a moment, because there's a man, he's after setting up a free ambulance.
Fair play.
Yeah. His name is Abdul Kadir Abdahar Adam. The man to call when you're in a hurry. So, they like they say, don't call 999, call Abdul Kadir Abdahar Ham Adam.
It rolls off the door.
Cheers to be handy or die. Fucking hand here, die. He was in Pakistan and he was studying dentistry, which is the study of trout. And then he came home.
I don't think it is.
But the ambulance, to get an ambulance in Somalia is big money. Very big money. So he said, well, lads, come to hospital in fucking wheelbarrows, the whole lot. It was like Tullamore, he said. So he's just getting everyone to donate.
Okay.
$20 a month or whatever, all his teachings, all his students, and $1 a month. Because if you don't have your health, as my neighbour at home, Tim Fleming, used to say, if you haven't your health, you've nothing. Which was easy for him to say, because he had nothing. Even Paddy Skin wouldn't call into him. But the ambulance is the only job. There's Weedon Old Care Doc. Bro, this is years ago now, Dr. Coffey. And what he knew about doctrine, he must have learned it after birds, I'd say. Honest to God. He knew, you know what I mean? He was about as much use as a Sun Holiday in Anacarty. Kind of a job, right? Because he rang a neighbour of ours one time. And he said, I have your test results. You have 24 hours to live. Also, I meant to ring you yesterday.
You sip.
So that is the ambulances in Somalia. And just Al Shabaab, their gas, their crest actually looks like a shit hurling club.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll show you the Al Shabaab crest. Instead of hurlies, it has two M16s. Jeez. And a book. Yeah, I don't know what book it is now. But anyway. But just local things, I wanted to remind you of when Tig used to be calling up to us when he was by. Did you know, lads, that Tig actually won? He would have came second in Strongest Man in the Town. Yeah. And he actually, you haven't been back since, Tig. I'm one, just because Chunky Hayes got the better, you know. You haven't been back since. See, Tig won the hog toss. That's when you have to catch a pig and you throw the pig over the roof of the Shamrock Lounge. And then Huey throws you out with his ostrich. Kind of like Elton John says, circle life. Okay. But you were very unlucky. You were very unlucky in the priest hop, which is, of course, the second round. You had to run to the old bridge and back with a priest on your back. And Tiger, of course, got the short straw when he pulled out the name of Father Hackett. Man's as big as a bun. And fuck it, Tiger, you were going well. I remember it well now. Yourself and Chunky were neck and neck. And Father Hackett up in their back smoking fags. You remember, sir? Yeah, you're only young for the time, but fuck it, you'd have won it too if you hadn't fell into Kerry's bog. But then there was the Donkey Derby. And fuck it, for a finish, Donkey was up in Tiger's back. Tiger was so strong, he was carrying the Donkey. It's fucking quicker. I'll never forget about you. Some strength. But you haven't been around in a while, so I just wanted to ask you a little mini quiz on the furlongs. This is I know your furlong. So in the 2004 edition of Queen of the Fair, which of the furlongs was accidentally crowned winner in the all-female event? Was it A, Eddie the Ferret furlong? Was it B, Johnny Two-Stroke furlong? Or C, Conal the Barbarian furlong?
Johnny
Two-Stroke. It wasn't. Unfortunately, it was Conal the Barbarian.
Is he not a dog, no?
No, dog is named after him. The dog is more recent. You probably don't remember your Uncle Conal, but he was... God be good, yeah. No, he's not dead. He just moved to Carlow. But with his long hair, he was the closest thing to a good-looking woman in the hall that night. And also, we bribed the MC for the crack. Okay, one more quick one before I go. Where did Uncle Frank go on his holidays this year? Was it A, Houston Station? Was it B, Barack Obama Plaza? Or C, the car boot sale in Feathert?
He went to the Barack Obama Plaza.
He did.
Supermax.
Yeah. That's right. He went and got
a Tank Burger in a Supermax. I remember you telling me the story.
Yeah. Yeah. And he fucking, he loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was up and down.
I had a chip in Supermax. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never tasted it myself, believe it or not, but it's supposed to be. Unbelievable.
Oh, Frank is still going on about it.
Yeah. He's only caught over there a day, actually. He's still talking about it.
Yeah, was he?
He was still licking his beard, yeah, trying to get the last marks out of it.
But he only had the free travel.
Yeah, he had the pass, yeah, sure. Yeah,
sure. He was up and down the day and all.
Yeah.
Oh, best holiday ever went on. But, but he loves to travel. And he said he's hoping to get to Houston Station before he dies. So. Go on, I must go. I'm going to meet Johnny Two-Stroke in town for a pint, so we might see you later.
Be good.
Good man, young fella. Sound.
She slides into DMs like she slides an ATM out of a wall smoothly. Maura, what have you got for your mystery topic this week?
Right, lads. I'm wondering, right, you know when a girl is in a bad mood?
Ooh, I've heard of it.
Shit.
Yeah, but like generally... She doesn't want to be left alone. It's like you've been ignoring her for a while and you did something wrong and you need to make up for it now. So she's just giving you the cold kind of treatment. So
how do you get inside my head?
Yeah. But like that's easily solved. The harder thing is when a guy is in a bad mood. Like guys would like say, oh, just leave me alone. And I think they genuinely want to be left alone. And the girl's all in her head like thinking, what did I do? What did I say? So I'm wondering, when you get in a bad mood... Well, Smax, I know you just need ice cream, but yeah,
very regularly.
Yeah. How should somebody get back on your good side, or should you just be left off and, you know, sent out of the house for a wee while?
That's interesting because it's always that's the discussion. Like a woman's in a bad mood, like oh, leave her alone or whatever. But it's true, yeah. What do you do when a fella gets in a bad mood? Spuds.
Spuds, lad. Yeah, spuds. I don't know. When I'm regularly in a bad mood, like, but being left alone. Definitely.
Really?
Yeah, get on. Stop texting me. Stop ringing me. Don't be doing it to me. Like.
Yeah. Probably calls. A lot of women going to listen is going like, oh, fuck.
All those 500 women, Mara. I was saying, God,
no, but like, just thinking, like, I rang him, like, 7 times and he didn't answer because I was worried about him. So, you know.
Stop ringing. Yeah. No, wait. So you're saying if a woman says leave me alone, she doesn't really mean it?
No.
Well, if a fella says leave me alone, he fucking means it. Yeah.
Right.
Ty?
What do you like? If you lose now, Ratney, do you lock yourself away or what? Or do you like?
Generally don't really take it home, the whole lot. Yeah. Sometimes you just felt humour and just leave me alone. Don't talk to me about anything about rugby or anything. Leave me alone. I genuinely mean
leave me alone. I think to answer that more, like, it is genuinely leave me alone. Like,
you come to it once, you just need give us 20 minutes, half an hour, be grand then.
You know, 20 minutes, half an hour, you know, 2 days on the beer, whatever, like, let your man go drinking with the lads for a couple of days, you know what I mean? And then when he comes home, a few spuds, like, that's all it takes, like, is that so hard?
That's, yeah.
Because I always think of that meme, it's so true, you know the one where the guy's in bed and he's thinking about something, the girl's behind him and she's, like, thinking about, oh my God, this is something, and he's, like, thinking, oh, I can't believe Liverpool are, like, you know, nearly throwing the league away, you know, and she's like, oh, he's really worried about his mother, and it's, like, not the case at all, so,
I think I'm kind of, you know, half like a woman, I need a bit, like, you're okay, you're still good. I mean, everything's alright, you're still the man. Like, bit of that. A bat lad, an old bat. I can jump into the bat there and I'd be depressed. You know what? No, but like some days I'd be like, oh man, shit day, sick of this, too busy. Like all the, get into the bat then might get out, happy days. Jump out of singing then the whole lot. Like,
and he really is frowning here now.
Yeah. He's horrified here.
Bat,
I like a bat.
Yeah.
I like a bat.
Bubble bat?
Yeah.
Epsom salt.
There's an old Radox Red York now as well. And it's like
it's a bubble yolk that kind of spreads out when you put it in the bath.
Yeah, and there's a deep heat version of that.
Go ahead.
Fuck, I smell it. Do you know what I smell? Like, you smell like a junior B dressing room, like. But it's some job now for the old back lad.
Okay, that's my answering conclusion. Yeah, if a guy says he's in a bad mood, wants to be left alone, let him on.
Or else run the bath. One or the other, run the bath.
Fair enough. Okay, I'm happy with that.
Cool. All right.
And as is tradition on the Two Johnnies podcast, we finish with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
We
have to do that because that's actually our impression of a Wexford accent.
Yeah.
Yurt and dirt.
I might do an impression as well. Yurt or dirt of the week. No, we're
using that every week, lad. That's getting chopped into.
Yurt or dirt.
Yurt or dirt, son. My yurt of the week is, we're obviously at the Go Games and stuff like that. And I'm not being sponsored to say this, but the underage coaches. Some patience. Something. I swear to God, I don't know how they do it. Like, there's 8-year-olds been like, when am I coming on? When am I coming on? When am I coming on? And like, your man's like, look, relax, lads, we'll get you all again. If that was me, I'd be like, get away. Like, I remember I worked underage with a coach. I won't name him now, right? And I won't say what club it is, but the kids were like, when am I coming on? When am I coming on? And he was like, listen, I've had a hard day in work now. The last thing I need is you giving me grief. The kid was like 12. So like, credit to all these underage coaches, like, spending their spare time doing that, because I tell you, it wouldn't be for me.
Yeah, my dirt of the week is I went to the gym this week and hadn't been in a while. They'd moved Everton.
Oh.
So now I love to warm up on the Zyoke, the Watt bike. Do you ever use them, Tyke?
Yeah.
There's some yokes to sweat. You sweat like...
They kill you in lactic acid in the car.
Blow.
Does the job though, right? But there's only one Watt bike in the whole place. And they've moved it now out into the bit of a studio area. And it's right up against the window, right? It's like full length windows. But it's near the school. So kids will be lying out in the grass. And I'm like 3 feet away, up on the Watt bike for half an hour, like sweating me bollocks off, making alien faces and sweat dripping off me. And there's a load of like 13-year-old schoolgirls looking over their shoulder.
Just videoing you, like snapchatting you on the Watt bike. Like. Just bear that in mind the next time you're there.
I'm putting away and... So, yeah, that's my dirt.
My dirt of the week is everybody posting pictures of Coachella, lad. Coachella is everywhere. All I'm seeing is like fucking, I'm not complaining about bikinis and, you know, all these fancy hats and like, swimming pools and the whole lot. There's not one post I've seen about the music. I couldn't tell you who's even at Coachella. No one's talking about the music. It's all Hunzo's going for getting pictures, basically. It's what it seems like that to me.
Yeah,
but it is a music festival.
It is, yeah. There would be, but Jimmy Kimmel, I think it was, did a brilliant thing. He was interviewing people. Oh, are you going to see such and such band at Coachella? And like, their band name's completely made up. Like, so you're looking forward to seeing Dr. Zhivago? He's like, yeah, I can't wait to see them.
Love
you know, they're
stuff.
Yeah, they're so good, so good.
Got kind of commercial after that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's my door to be. It sickens me. I just Maybe I just can't afford to go to Coachella. That's really what it is. But
that's cat. Yeah. All right, that's it. Yeah, I'm just loving. I'm loving the Go Games, lad. Yeah. I've asked everyone in Croke Park. They took out the goals today. When we went into Croke Park, there was no goal, and some lad, he like you, was like buffing the goal mouth. And I've been asking everyone, what's he doing to the goal mouth? Why is there no grass in there? And how is it going to be ready to play championship in a few weeks?
Yeah, we want to do the same. Don't care.
So if somebody,
Pete O'Mahony out there, going over the 21-yard line
with his Manchester United lawnmower, yeah.
Doing an Ixer, an old Foxer.
Yeah, doing it for the love of grass, I think. He's trying to get
paper. Hey, if somebody could tell me what are they doing in Croke Park, that'd be great.
He's dying to know. Right, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B. Please subscribe and leave us a review. Thanks.
From me, Maura.
And me, Ty.
We'll see you next week. Good luck.